Many, many blessings and aloha, and welcome to the call. So let's just start with a little guided meditation. So just take a moment to really breathe. Most of the time we don't breathe properly, so let's just take a moment to get some good old-fashioned oxygen into the breath. There we go. Bring that in. And just really filling yourself with the air and the oxygen. And then as you breathe out, just letting it all go. So we're just breathing in light as we breathe in. And as we relax and let go, we just breathe out, letting go a little bit deeper. We're just going to take a few beautiful breaths, breathing in the light and the peace, and then letting go. And as you breathe out, just let go of any tension, any negativity, any worries. Just taking a few more breaths and enjoying that experience. Ah, wonderful. Yay. So today we're going to be talking about you and your questions. So for anyone who wants to share anything going on in your life, we are here for you. So just press *2 on your telephone and we will unmute you. And for those of you on the webcast, as always, you can just type things in the box. And even if you don't have a question, you can go for it.
Wonderful. So I see Miss Lydia from Greece is raising her hand. Hi, Lydia.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, nice to hear you.
Nice to hear you too.
How are you doing, Lydia?
I'm okay. I've had a quite challenging months behind me, but yeah, also people around that are not the closest. I had like two different people in my close circle that passed, so this month has been, you know, a lot about this transition. One of them being my very good friends and one of my meditation teacher's brother who passed from cancer. So it was a really deep experience for me to see how he managed it, because he can, you know, he feels the other levels and he can have information or communication. And I saw his human side also, but it was a very deep experience. And with Michelle also, and then there was another person from an accident who's a friend of my parents. So this energy has been very intense for me this month. And I wanted to share first something that is related to this. I wasn't able to come last week, unfortunately, to the other call. It was very late and I had very pushing schedule. I listened to all the call though, and it was very touching. So I just wanted to share one of a very intimate experience that I've had around 10 years ago that is related to this in a way, and then I also have a question for you, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
So about more than 10 years ago, I was regularly going to this spiritual community that I was in, going there for meditation, seminars and all that. And I was very, very close to the people there, communicating regularly. And at some point, I was living in London at that time. So at some point, I had, let's say, a very awake dream. Like I was dreaming, but what I saw in this dream was I really experienced it really in some level of reality. So what I saw in this dream, I still remember and I get goosebumps, was that I was in a very, let's say, longitudinal room, very lengthy, and there was a huge table, like these tables that are very, very long and people sit and eat together. So this whole room had a color of this iridescent gold, like everything was painted like in the walls, and there was a huge feast with people, and we were eating and laughing and celebrating. And I remember some people from that group. I will explain why I'm saying this detail. So at some point later, some of the people needed to leave, meaning they were about to die, right? And what happened is, as we were all celebrating, some of them, their chin just fell down, and we could all see their energy bodies getting slowly out of their physical bodies and going up. And we were waving our hands with much joy. And it was basically, I understood later, that it was a passing away farewell dinner party for these souls. So I woke up. This was an incredibly deep dream, and it was, I really experienced it as if it was in this reality. It was that real. And I woke up, I remember I woke up with this feeling like extremely serene and peaceful. And I was like, basically, this is what we call death. It's just another transition, and we should, it would be so much nicer if we would celebrate the people and we could actually see them also, the transitioning, right? Not feeling that we are cut from them. So next morning I got an email or a call, I don't remember, from one of my friends in that spiritual community. And she said, one of the ladies there, a core from the, let's say, more spiritual core and the oldest living there people, she passed. And it was at that night that she passed, and she said to me that morning they had been singing on top of her grave when they said goodbyes. So I actually have shared this dream with very few people in my life. I really, really wanted to share this with you, because even though I've also gone through grief and I've experienced some loss in my life, some of them were quite painful and tragic in a way. When I lost one of my best friends at 15 years old from a car crash. But this dream, I always return to this energy, and I feel very grateful that I lived that day. So I really wanted to share it with you guys.
Thank you. Yeah. What a beautiful dream. how vivid. And also that you found out that was actually happening at the time. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's such a, it's like being in the soul-centered awareness, and there's so much joy and happiness, and it's like when we're free from these negative energies really that stem from the ego that we're cleansing, there's attachment, and there's kind of this thing in the world that you're supposed to take sorrow and all these funny things. But your dream is very much in alignment with truth and with joy and with the beauty and the flow of our journey here that naturally comes with transition, since these bodies are made of the earth. And that's actually beautiful. I love that you return to that and keep coming back to that energy and feeling that joy. I think it's really healing for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I do return to that, and it's just it just sealed me in a way, you know. It just put that seal on me that, in a way, in whatever emotion I'm at, I always kind of have that somewhere within me. Sometimes farther away, sometimes closer. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very healing experience, that dream. So my question was, if you have an answer, like a personal answer for yourself to, let's say, why you think it was the time for Michelle to leave? Do you think that she, you know, completed what she needed, or she was not perfectly aligned with what she needed to do, so she decided to leave this incarnation? I don't know. I have been thinking about it, trying to feel about it, and in some other occasions in my life too. I mean, yeah, that was my question. And also, if you have experienced a deep loss in your life, how was that experience for you?
Thank you. Yeah, what a great question. And yeah, to answer this properly, I think we have to step back from Michelle specifically and think about people and death in general a little bit, because
yeah,
people die all the time, you know. And but right now, today there's thousands of people that have died. Like right now, someone's dying. Mm-hmm. And being reborn, yeah, and being born again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a clock. You can go online. It's very interesting to do this. You can see the birth rate and death rate. There's a clock online. You can type it in, and you can see in numbers, like a chart, like a number log of people dying and people being born next to each other. It's very interesting to look at that number. And obviously, the population is growing, so the death are happening and more people are being born. And when we die, from a spiritual perspective, when we die, what it means is that we have left this body and we will go into another body. Yeah, this is basically, from a spiritual perspective, what happens. We go into another body. And you can see documentaries where they talk about reincarnation very, very clearly. Now, before we talk about reincarnation, we also have to understand, where do we come from? Yeah. So how come the population's growing? How is this happening? It's not that just bodies are being born. It's that souls are coming down from the world of light into this world in order to express themselves, to play their part. So all of us, we are spiritual beings, and we're actors, yeah, we came here to act, yeah. So why are we here at all, any of us? Like, how come we're here? We're here to engage with each other, to interact with each other, to act. We're here to basically play our part on this wonderful stage. You know, the world is a big stage, like Shakespeare said, all the world, everyone is an actor, and this world is a big stage. And we have many entrances and exits. And some souls have been here a long time, and that's what we call old souls. They've been around many, many, many lives. And others have literally just come here, and this is their only life. So the reason that some people don't believe in reincarnation is simply because they haven't had another life. So they actually haven't had another life, so there's no reason they would think that way. But many people who we talk to have had previous lives. Some people have even remembered their previous lives. Some children have had clear memories of their previous life when they were younger. They tell their parents about it. And they go into detail, like when I was, I used to do this, and I lived in this shop, and I lived in this place, and they're all these details. It's like really interesting. So when someone leaves, right, what's happened is they have ended one part on the stage. They've exited the stage temporarily, only to come back on the stage again within about 6 months. Yeah, get reborn within 6 months typically, because the soul enters the womb at around 3 or 4 months when the body of the baby is ready to have a soul in it. And that's normally when the mother starts noticing things. And some mothers have actually seen a light coming in their belly after 3 months. And many start noticing the baby starts kicking and moving around and doing stuff after that time as well. So then the soul's in the womb, and then it gets born. And the soul brings all of the tendencies, all of the personality, and all of the karma with it. Yeah, so if someone is, for example, say someone like Mozart, Mozart no doubt had a previous life as a pianist, right? So he comes down, he gets born, he plays the piano, and then he dies, he gets reborn again. And now he can just play the piano straight away. Like, he just comes out, and at 3 he's knocking out loads of music. Because he already knows how to play the piano. Because he remembers, yeah? So when you see little kids, if they're old souls, which Greece has tons of old souls, yeah? Like a lot of these older countries have more old souls. These little kids, you see that they have funny personality traits and they have weird things that they're doing that are not related to their parents, you know? It's kind of this weird stuff. It's like, So Michelle has left the body, gone beyond, and because she left unexpectedly, I don't think she was planning on this, you know. I mean, from what I understand, she was actually Michelle, frankly, has had challenges her whole life. It's not as if she's just been living in joy constantly. She's had a lot of challenges. I lived with Michelle for over a year and a half, and what reason we love Michelle is because she had a go. She really went for it as best she could, you know, and that's really honorable. And that's why everyone loved her, you know, because she really did all she could. But she also had a lot of challenges, and she had, problems of her own. And like everyone does. And a friend of ours was spending time with her just before she left, and she was sharing some issues with her. You know, I heard a few stories. But Michelle, it's not as if Michelle had like reached her final perfect state and become an angel and left the body or something like that. She had work to do still, yeah. But she'd done a lot of work in this life. She really had made a lot of progress. I personally knew her, you know, more than most people from like before when she first contacted us for superhero training years and years ago. And compared to what she was like when I first met her and what she was like at the end, there's a big change has happened. So I really, I'm really touched by Michelle's progress. You know, it's a huge shift happened. And so I don't think she was prepared for it, actually. Maybe she was... She seems to be enjoying her life, so I don't think she was planning on leaving. Oh, I can't say that for sure, because I didn't talk to her that recently before she left, but seems like she was, anticipating being alive a bit longer, put it that way. And then she got in this accident in the ocean and then left the body, yeah, because knocked unconscious and probably drowned. And then what happens when that happens is the soul leaves the body, yeah. And when someone dies unexpectedly, which is definitely the case with Michelle, they are in a state of shock normally because she wasn't anticipating it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if someone has had cancer and they've been fighting with cancer for 15 years or something, they've been thinking about death over and over again, and they're preparing themselves and they have a will and all this stuff, when they finally leave, it's just a relief. They've been thinking about it. They know they're dying. It's all good. And that's normally when they go straight into another body, because they're already ready for their next life. They're ready already. In Michelle's case, in someone who leaves suddenly, a car crash or accident, what typically happens is they are in shock, and they don't quite know what has happened to them immediately, because it's not what they expected. It's like people who have near-death experiences. They go above their body, and they look down at their body, and they know it's not them, and they know that they're not in their body, and their body's died. And they're kind of shocked and surprised at what the hell is going on here. And I wouldn't be surprised if Michelle had some sort of out-of-body, obviously an out-of-body, but near-death experience. She probably went into the light and had some sort of some bizarre, wonderful experiences in the light. But then she has to come to terms with the fact that she didn't anticipate that. And what's going to happen next, you know? And so one of the things I've been encouraging everyone, and I did on that call last week, was what we need to do to help her and to help anyone who's left the body unexpectedly is to send them good wishes and love and light, and mm-hmm. wish them well on their journey, on their next chapter, because if we try and talk about them all the time and try and, you know, go on and on and think about them all the time, that's going to suck them back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see what I mean? Because they don't know what's happened anyway. So they're sort of like, what the hell happened to me? And if people are thinking about you and they're having feelings of, oh, my God, I wish you were still here kind of feelings, which happens naturally when we grieve, you know, when we lose someone and we can't talk to them. Obviously, there's normally a sense of loss and pain. But we have to be altruistic and go beyond our own needs and try and think about the actual soul who's left and think, what do they need? You know, what do they need from us? Because we're still here, you know, in the body, and we're all, relatively speaking, all right, you know. So I encourage everyone, when someone dies, to... if you have to grieve, then grieve. That's fair enough. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. But as soon as you can, let them go. And what that means is you celebrate their life and you give thanks for knowing the person. Because we can learn a lot from people, and it's really good to acknowledge them. But then we have to realize that they have another journey that doesn't include what it was before. It's like someone's moved town, you can think of it that way. Yeah, they've moved town, and so they're living in a different place, and they've moved country, let's think of it that way. They moved to another country, and they're doing something else. Yeah, so what we need to do is respect the fact that they need to get on with them. It's almost like they've got remarried, in a sense. Do you know what I mean? because like, you know, you're in a sense, we're all married to the people we know, yeah? And then when we leave the body, we're still connected to these souls because we know them on a deeper level, but they've kind of got remarried somewhere else in a way, yeah? And from that point of view, it would be confusing for somebody who's in a new life to be caught up in their old life. And that's why we have amnesia. That's why most people don't remember their last lives, because if we could remember the last three or four lives we've had, or and remember all the people and all the stuff that we did and all these things, and we can remember it now, clearly, it would actually make it very hard for us to live our current life. Do you see what I mean? Because we might be pulled back. We might have stuff. We might think, oh, my God, where's that person who I really love? I haven't seen them for so long. I wonder where they are. And so all this stuff happens, and you can't be present anymore. So Michelle is still here. So that's good news. She's still here, and everyone else who's ever died is still here as well. But they're in a different country. When I say different country, I don't mean they've moved to another country. They might have done. They might have moved across the world. You know, they could have moved, because the soul can leave the body and go to another body in literally in a second. So I personally I was in India in my last life, and I, because I've had visions of this, and I know for sure I was in India in my last life, and I came to England. So I left the body in India in 1978, and I, no, 1978, yeah. And then I was, and then I was born in South Africa. I changed country, and then I ended up in England. Then I ended up in, back in India. Now in America, yeah. And so, Jeremy, but I have to take plane rides to get to India now. Whereas when I left India to come to South Africa, it happened in a second. So when you know about these things, so it could be that in, you know, like 3 or 4 years, 5 years, we might be talking to Michelle. She'll probably be a boy, because it normally goes male, female. When you leave one body, you take the opposite gender generally. So she's probably going to be a boy, and you know, what a feisty young chap he's going to be.
Yeah. So, you know, from the spiritual perspective, which is our real perspective, it's when somebody leaves, and this is a unique time. I think the vision that you had a time of is something that's coming, something we know more of as called the golden age, right? Something that is a time when everybody is fully awake. Right now, it's a confluence. It's a shift from basically the, I mean, you could say it's a dark time, right, into a time of awakening. And during this time, everybody needs to is settling their karmic accounts with different souls. And when somebody leaves, so when Michelle left, she had completed her accounts with all of us, everyone in her life. Otherwise, she'd still be here, right, sorting them out. And sometimes, I mean, if somebody's reached a very high state of consciousness, a state of enlightenment, of being karmatit, beyond karma, they might still stay just for the betterment of humanity and still stay in that body. So there's a lot of different, I mean, this is a topic we could, obviously there's many different secrets in the drama of life we could speak about for a while, but this is, you know, this is kind of the essence and the way we can understand it. Yeah, is all that helpful, Lydia?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, for example, I've seen some cases of people that, to me at least, it was clear that, for example, they had a tragic accident or they got very sick and then they passed. And that was, in these cases, because, for example, they were very much, let's say, misaligned with their true
yeah.
nature and essence and path, that they strayed so far away that there was no point in being in this incarnation anymore, and their higher self knew that there's no point, so they'd better leave and start a new one. So, you know, that was my question,
yeah.
you know, for Michelle. I was wondering myself what was the case for her, or if
right.
there's yeah, an answer to that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean...
And also for some other people that, I, you know, this month I had 3 other people around me that passed, and I was also
right,
wondering
right.
for them. For the one case, it was
well,
very clear, but when it's a younger age, like my own friend at 15, it was probably that case of, you know, there is no... Whatever needed to be done, it was done, and then... She just left.
Yeah. You know, the secrets of karma and this drama of life are so deep that
yeah.
the only one who knows all of the secrets is God. And that's the one who we really want to get to know and remember and be with and be connecting with. That's the ocean of truth and really knows
yeah.
all the secrets. Sometimes it's a settlement of karma. You know, if somebody's been around a long time, who knows? Sometimes there's something tragic that happens, but that soul is settling their karma. You know, there's really a perfection to it. And sometimes, and in most cases in this age, coming out of an age of darkness, really, yeah, most everybody hasn't been living in alignment with with who they really are. It's a very deep thing to own your divinity and live in that truth. So there's that too. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's always an upgrade for everyone. And, you know, in Michelle's case, she wanted to come to Hawaii, and she did. She came in 2012, beginning of 2012, so it's 2016, 2012, 13, 14, 15. 12, 13, 15. Yeah, so she had a good 4.5 years of doing what she wanted to do. And she literally just went, I mean, you can see on Facebook, she went on hikes all the time, and she was like really, I think she did more exploration of the island and like adventures wandering around the island, because it's not a very big island, it's Kauai, it's 35 miles wide, you know, it's got one road, you know, so one main road. So yeah, I think she kind of like, there's only so much you can do in Kauai. And she was mostly in Kauai for 4.5 years, going up waterfalls and you know, doing all the stuff. And, you know, it's a small place. So in a way, I wouldn't be surprised if on some deeper level she'd done everything she needed to do. And it was time to move on. And there's something, and I wouldn't be surprised either, that there's something that she's going to learn and experience in her next chapter when she's out of the, because she's learned a lot of lessons since she, you know, recently, and but she's also got, you know, the previous conditioning from her parents and all this other stuff that, you know, we pick up along the way that's not true for us, right? So there's that going on. But when she gets born into another incarnation, then all of those old things that she didn't see had in her last life won't be there in the new life, because that all came from her parents. A lot of this stuff from America. She could well be born in another country, and so she's starting from a point of having a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, a lot of new understanding. And so I wouldn't be all surprised if her greatest lessons are yet to come, and her greatest experiences and all the stuff is ready. And perhaps she wasn't going to be able to receive anything more at the point where she was in Kauai.
Yeah, you know, and I'd say just to kind of bring, I don't know if I take closure maybe to this all, I think one of the main things from my perspective, at least, I think Michael's too, is the main thing we need to do is we need to go inward. We need to be with ourselves. We need to know ourselves. We need to not run away from ourselves. We need to really, really go deep inside. And that's my feeling of really what is the call of these times. And also, is our greatest safety and protection is going deep in ourselves and that connection with Source and really spending more time inwards. It's that's where the real clearing goes, because there's either clearing and coming to full completion, full light within ourselves through experiences, often through pain, which isn't so nice, or there's coming to completion in full light with our own inner burning away of those things and facing and surrendering and really going deep inside. So it's a really potent message, I feel, from all of this. The sensitivity of time, the suddenness of time, and that's what I see as a really important, very valuable lesson we can all take.
Yeah. Yeah, and to understand, you know, we are spiritual beings, and this is a big play. It's a big movie. It's a big game. And there are secrets to this game of life that we don't understand logically. But for some reason, and if you're in many ways, like, we're the ones who benefit from people passing in a way. They obviously benefit in a different way, because they go on to another adventure where they learn something new. They have another experience. But the people who are left afterwards also benefit because we can learn things from them. We can learn things about death. We can think about death, because in most Western cultures, most cultures, they don't like to talk about death. Death is like a taboo subject. Don't talk about it, ever. Keep it away. No. Everyone's going to live forever. Don't worry about it. We're all going to live forever. Don't worry. We got our supplements. We're all going to live forever. No one's going to die here, you know. But actually, death is normal. So it's good. I think in many ways, the benefit is that we, the ones who have to deal with death, because we're still here, we get to think about death. We get to learn from their life. We get to acknowledge the blessings that they gave us and all these things. So I suggest that when anyone dies, you don't take sorrow from it, because it's just attachment. I mean, anytime that we get attached, we suffer. I mean, so what the Buddha has been telling us for a long time. I was shocked, I have to say, when Michelle left anyway, even though I'm prepared for these things and I think about this stuff, it still is a shock when it happens, because Michelle was dear to me, and I didn't expect that to happen, yeah? So I think it rocked a lot of people, because we just weren't expecting it. But we have to use the spiritual knowledge that we have, which is don't take sorrow, and understand that there's benefit in everything. Because there really is benefit in everything. It's just that it's not always obvious what the benefit is when it happens. It's always obvious later. But what we have to do as superheroes is try and find out the benefit very, very quickly. So as soon as something happens, we need to look at ourselves and say, how is this beneficial somehow? How is this good for me somehow? How is it good for everyone somehow? And start asking that question and finding the answer. Because otherwise we'll just get into spin. You know, and spinning isn't helping us, it's not helping them, it's not helping other people. It's just misery, you know. So it's not easy to do these things, you know, not to take sorrow and to stay happy and to see benefit. You know, it takes work. It's not easy to do. But, you know, it's better to stay positive and see the benefit and feel good about things than it is to be miserable. Because we honestly don't do very well when we're suffering for ourselves or anyone else. So when people leave, we have to say, why the drama is always a good word. Like, why the wonder of life? The wonder of life. Because it's just surprise. It's a surprising thing. I mean, every day is a surprise, really. It's just that these things are a bit more shocking, because you can't talk to the person once they're left, you know. In India, in the past, what they used to do when people died is they would have a Brahmin priest, who's like a priest, and they would invoke the soul into this other person's body and talk to them about how they're doing. And they would ask questions, you know, they could verify it was the person, because they asked them stuff that there's no way anyone else would know about, you know. And they would ask, how are you doing? What's going on? Is everything all right? And they would have closure with them. And then they needed to let it go and not invoke them back again and again and again, because that's not healthy. So these are very deep, very, very deep things. And I think the bottom line is we have to be prepared for death ourselves. And think about it. Thinking about death is a good thing to do. Yeah, thinking about dying and gore and blood is unnecessary. But thinking about the fact that we're all going to not be in the body is beneficial. And we're spiritual beings. It's good to think about it. And also, there's a state of consciousness when we have genuinely cleared all our karma, which happens through spiritual power, when we can actually leave our body at will.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to get to. That's different from an accident. Accidents are not at will. That was something happened. But it's where you're sitting there and you choose to leave by yourself.
Yes, we want to purify our own karma. That's the essence. So Lydia, we'll be actually connecting more with you on this on a Monday call. But I think for today's Supergirl call, I think your questions really served everyone here. Thank you to everyone that'll be listening. So thank you. Do you feel complete with all that?
Yeah, thank you for the journey. Last thing I wanted to add, I just remembered a few months ago when my grandmother passed, and my mother is having an extremely hard time letting go. I've been trying to help her with that. Basically, at my grandmother's second memorial, which was like 40 days later, there was an older woman that was around my grandmother's age, like quite old, and she told my mother a story of a very good friend of hers that lost her son. She lives in a village, and she said she has nothing to do with spirituality, like in a path of working with herself. But she said that the mother was crying on top of the son's grave every single day because he was very young and she couldn't take it. And she said, 2 months later or 3 months later, I don't remember, she saw her own son standing on his grave, right? Not in the material, of course, but she actually saw him. That's what she said. And he asked her, "Mother, please stop crying because I cannot pass the river." And the woman was so shaken from the vision, she actually saw it with her own eyes, that she stopped going to his grave. She never went back again, and she stopped crying. And this friend of my grandmother told that to my mother. So she said, "You need to let her go. You're torturing her." And I was shocked that this woman out of nowhere, just a simple woman from a village, just said this to my mother. It was incredible. She was also shocked.
Well, that's the truth. That is the truth, and that's an incredible story. Thank you.
So, thank you, too. And love from Greece.
Oh, we love you from Sedona.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That was such a beautiful story. Yeah. We're living in a world of what we call toxic morality. Toxic morality. So the morals and ethical codes of the world that we live in. We're living in sick society. And so the codes of conduct, the way of living, the way of doing things is toxic. Yeah. Some of it's good, but a lot of it's toxic. And one of the toxic things is the idea that if you don't take tremendous misery when people die or if something happens, if you don't get really upset, you're a bad person.
Yeah, totally.
We're guilt-tripped into being miserable as if being miserable is the best thing ever. And anyone who doesn't...
And also that you're supposed to hang on to the person.
Yeah, you're supposed to hang on to them and have all this massive shrine to them and have all these things and sort of talk about them every day and put flowers at their grave for 15 years and cry about them at their anniversary and all these things. That's all cultural conditioning. It didn't used to be like that in other cultures and at different periods of time. This is all recent cultural programming. Because we live in a world of sorrow and people promote suffering, so what we need to do is just recognize toxic morality when we see it and don't be guilt-tripped by it and just have a spiritual perspective that everyone's still here, everyone's alive, everyone's good. This is just a big film, and imagine a big theater production and imagine someone plays different parts. We're on the stage, everyone's playing their parts, and then someone in the stage, in the performance, dies. And they leave the stage, they get dragged off, right? Then they stand up, they put on a different costume, and they come on a little bit later and play a different part as a different person. There's no need for grief, actually, when you have that awareness. And so we should just really think of it as a theater, because it is a theater, and stay away from toxic morality because it's just miserable, miserable, miserable. We don't need to be miserable.
Hallelujah. Lovely, lovely. So is there anyone else on the call who would love to raise their hand and share? You have a question maybe, something we can help you with in your life? There's a few of you on the call here, so it'd be great to hear from you. If you're on the webcast, go ahead. You can type in a question in the box, and we will read it. So, and thanks to Lydia for being brave and just going for it right away. We love that. So anything in your life, anything going on, any questions that have been surfacing, or even in your superhero training studies? Really no questions too big or too small. Well, okay. I think we'll just unmute some of you just to say hi at least, even if you don't have a question. Let's see. How about Washington? Cell phone in Washington, ending in 753. You are unmuted.
You can speak if you like.
We just dropped off.
Oh.
Maybe they pressed off instead of unmuted.
There you go. Oh. Looks like sometimes we freak people out when we
Franz. How about we talk to Franz?
All right.
Franz, I'm going to unmute you. Hi, Franz.
Hello. Am I on mute?
You're unmuted. Yes, it's good to hear you.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to hear you too. It's very a very lovely call. So, do you have a question for me or something?
Well, I just unmuted you. If you have a question, maybe, if there's anything you'd like to share, or if you have any questions.
Well,
but if not, that's okay. Yeah.
I was trying to think of a good question, but I don't know if I got a good one, you know.
Well, it can be an ordinary one.
It could be a bad question.
Yeah, but let me try to remember. I was thinking like before the call, trying to meditate about bringing a subject up into the group, but I am not sure how to do it because I have read some terms and conditions from the protocol, from the superhero training. I mean, you know, the mm-hmm. terms and conditions saying that it's not a how would you say it's not appropriate to, you know, to share.
I'm not sure. I'm not looking at it, but share. Usually, it's only that it's not good to share anything mean with other people. But other than that, you can share anything, really. I think.
Yeah. You just don't. Sharing is good. Nothing wrong with that. It's that's what these calls are for. So it's always good to share. But we just unmuted you, so we were a little bit unprepared, so that's okay. Question.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you don't have a question, we can't hear you. I wonder if you're on mute now. we'll see if anybody else does. So,
yeah. So if anyone would love to just share something or ask a question, press star two on your telephone, and we'd love to hear from you. And, you know, just talking a bit more about this topic of death very briefly. Grieving, you know, when someone dies and they're close to us and we feel sad, that has to be dealt with however we can deal with it. So we're not saying that if you feel any grief that you're a bad person or something. You know, grieving is a natural thing, and it can take, sometimes it takes quite a long time to deal with it. I think the point we're making is when you understand the spiritual side of things, it releases a lot of the grief. Just the understanding helps to shift a lot of the pain, because you understand everything's actually okay, and it can speed up the process. So even if we're going through a grieving process, when we think about the things we've been sharing, it makes us feel better. And then because we feel better, we are able to grieve in a way that doesn't take a huge amount of time, and we can come to a place of peace within ourselves. And having said that, you know, each person's different, and so, you know, what might take one person a certain amount of time takes another person a different amount of time. It's all good. Yeah, so we're just saying, do what you need to do, and think about the wonderful things, the good things, the deep things in life, and that'll speed it up. All right, so we have a question from, who is this, 250 number?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, it's Scarlett.
Scarlett, what a blessing.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Ariel.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
You seem to be cutting in and out a little bit.
I can hear you fine. You can't hear us?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I'm outside. Maybe I'll just stand still. First of all, I'd just like to say thank you so much to all of the superheroes in the training program here. I just feel so much gratitude, because I truly can feel all holding me spiritually through this process. Mm-hmm. And it's so great. It's so beautiful. And I'm getting all emotional because of how touched I am. I didn't think I'd have that feeling in this program, and it's beautiful. So thank you so much for operating at that level. And also to Nick, I haven't actually had a connection or spoken to him, but I feel him so potently, like it's really palpable. All of you, it's beautiful.
Yeah, we love you, and it's true. It's a powerful.
I always hear Nick, it's the real deal.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
My question is, okay, so I'm on the stage where I have to clear out my house and go through all my stuff and all that. And I happen to be living in a home that isn't mine. I've been here a year now. It's my best friend's, and he doesn't live here. He's working away from the mountains of the city right now. And so I'm holding his home. And this place is a magical miracle. This place is so healing and beautiful. But for like a good 20 years, it's been kind of like a home for everyone. And consequently, everyone has been leaving stuff behind. And there's just like an accumulation. And for this entire year, I've been digging through, getting rid of. And it just keeps surfacing and surfacing, like bits and bobs and things. And it's very interesting and fun. And some things are very like, oh, wow, what's that? There are treasures everywhere, you know. And it's really, it's kind of fun. But on the other hand, there's this energetic where people feel it's okay to just leave stuff behind, stuff they don't want, like their garbage or their trash or things they even want, their shoes or, you know, it goes on. And I really, really want to shift this energy. I feel like somehow it's been sort of gifted to me to give it a shot. And I'm not really sure how to do it. It feels like it's way stronger than just moving stuff around or getting rid of stuff. It feels this deeper energetic, you know?
Yeah,
it's a vortex. There's a vortex.
A vortex. There you go. There's the word.
Yeah. And, when we first came to Sedona about 9 months ago, we stayed with somebody whose house was like that for about a week. And it was like the community house, basically.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of chairs, some random thing they do once in a while, and just no one knew whose stuff was what, and no one really knew what is all this electric stuff and who owns this thing and what's that thing. And we were like going through the kitchen trying to figure out what the hell is going on, because we didn't understand either. And it was just no one really knew what was what, because it wasn't theirs. And everyone seemed to think it was someone else's, and everyone else thought it was someone else's. So, you know, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger, apparently, for years. So it sounds like a similar situation that you're in. How did Ilip deal with it? I'm not sure what actually he did.
Well, he had a room that was away from the rest of the house, and he ended up moving, so that's how he dealt with it. But, we've dealt with some level of this. The house we were in Kauai, there were several different people who passed through, and when we had to do a clearing, it took time, and it was slightly intense to go through so many things and so many things that actually weren't ours. Part of the process did involve us contacting certain people who had their stuff there and basically just demanding in a loving way that they come back and get it, or it was going to go out the door, you know. So we did give people warnings that basically, if you're able to contact people, that either, like, please come and get it, like, we're doing a major house clearing, this is really important to us, we live here, you know, or we're going to donate it or throw it away. So that worked quite well, actually.
Yeah, it's very effective. You say, I'm clearing out the whole house, and you have 1 month or 3 weeks to get your stuff. Otherwise, I'm going to give it all to a charity shop, thrift store. It's gone
in
3 weeks. On this date, I'm taking a truck,
and
it's all gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like you start getting the emails and
people kind of freak out.
Like, oh my god. So you kind of gotta have that. Really, it's just a matter of contacting the people and then putting it all. What we find was most helpful is just moving it all into an area and just tidying it up and just letting them know. We had this big. We in our house in Kauai. We have this place. Front door areas like this. It's a big area, so like outside, it's like semi-outside with the roof. So we could just put tons and tons of bags out there, and it would stay dry, and we could just say, just pick it up. You know, it doesn't matter if we're in or not, just come and get it. Otherwise, it's gone. And people would come around, they'd go through it, people would find little treasure things that they weren't there and take them away. So really, it's just creating deadlines. And then
holding people accountable, you know, is a really good thing.
If I may, I'll just interject. It has less to do with other people. I don't need to talk to anyone.
In fact,
if I have anyone's stuff, it's gone. I don't care. It's like that's not an issue. The energetic that I want to address. Do you know what I mean? Like on a deeper level, because my fear is I'll clear it all out, but I won't be. I don't know exactly how to. Access that, which is invisible, but that's got to go. That's the most important part. So it doesn't keep happening and doesn't happen without, you know what I mean? I don't have to, like, be a sergeant or whatever. It's just gone. It's just not even going to attract that any longer.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the energy is a consequence of the stuff, not the other way around.
Pardon me, can you repeat that?
The energetic is created by having all those things.
By the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it's not the other way around. Because at some point there was nothing in the house. you know, and it wouldn't have had that energy then.
Yeah.
So it would have been clear, like when it was first built, it wouldn't have had an issue.
Yeah, it's kind of like if somebody leaves a spoon out and doesn't put it away.
The spoon
then
theory,
person,
yeah, yeah.
The next person who comes to the kitchen is going to leave a bowl and so on and
yeah.
so on.
Yeah, it's called the broken windows theory. Yeah, you heard about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
Broken
I
windows.
Just listened to that,
yeah.
so.
Yeah. So it's that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the broken windows theory, which is created in an energetic, which means that people do it. But all you've got to do is follow the steps and do it in stages. Start with clothes, then books, then papers.
Right. Just
and just get on with it, and you'll notice that every single time you take bags out of the house, you know, you're going to feel that energetic start to disappear.
Uh-huh.
You'll notice it. You'll tangibly notice it. If you feel the power is going to come back. I'm amazed. Like, we just did it recently. We've got no bag. We've hardly got any stuff. I've got a bag of stuff right here. I'm looking at it. I'm going to drop it off at the thrift store. We hardly got any stuff. But I still do it now. Do you know what I mean? It's all new. This is 9 months. This is less than 9 months, and I'm still getting rid of things.
Yeah, okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, and even more specifically, I'm not sure what to do about this one. There's prayer flags. A few spots where people have put prayer flags up. And they're old, and they're haggard, and they're like, you know, they're just bleh, kind of dripping there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want them gone. But my daughter's like, no, you can't take those down. Those are someone's prayers. And like, and she just came back from Nepal, and she's like, no, they never take them down. They just keep up putting up more and more, and they're everywhere. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't want to destroy anyone's prayers. But yeah, I don't want to look at them or have that around either. Like, it's,
yeah.
I don't like it.
No, Now, their prayers have been fulfilled. This is past now.
Yeah.
Their prayers are good. The prayers have happened, and they're in
so
the ethers.
I can
yeah,
like have a clear conscience in removing these.
Yeah, fine, totally
yeah.
fine. It's,
yeah.
it's called superstition. It's like someone saying, you can't put the little black thing on this corner here, otherwise evil spirits. It's like, no, it's superstitious, yeah.
Okay, good.
Just let it go, let it go. And if you need more prayer flags, buy new prayer flags. That look
yeah,
good, so.
Okay.
You know, it's fine.
Yay.
It's just all that stuff. It's just again, like we were saying, toxic morality and guilt trips, you know.
Right.
Oh, you can't possibly move someone's prayer flags. And if those same people came to the house, they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? Get rid of the prayer flags. I don't even want those prayers anymore. I'm done. They said, please take them down. It's like it might be ruining someone's life right now, you know.
Right.
So get rid of them, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I don't know. Thank you for that.
Gosh. Yeah, you're free. Good. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, okay. You know what? I've got my work is coming from the start, so I'll see.
Yes.
I'll
keep on keeping it going. Keep on keeping on. Yeah, this is great, and it's going to be... going to be a fabulous experience. It's really nice to do that. It's a bit tiring, but it's great, super powerful, and you'll start noticing how much better you feel every time you shift something.
Yeah.
Ah, congratulations.
I think it's going to help my friend too, because I think a part of him sort of just like split, so he didn't have to deal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good job. You're taking care of that. Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah, it's just stuff. It's just draining, sticky business. And a lot of people think, see, one of the dangers with spiritual information is that it can seem that the inner world is the only thing that matters.
Uh-huh.
But actually, the outer world is also important, yeah?
Yeah.
So the outer world affects our inner world, and the inner world affects the outer world, because they're connected. So you can clear, even if you have a clear mind, it doesn't mean you're going to have a clear house if you don't clear the clutter out physically.
Yeah, right.
And if you clear the clutter out, you might have a clearer mind, because it's connected. Because in a way, the clutter is in your mind. Because you experience it in your mind. You experience everything in your mind. So when you move boxes out of the house, you no longer see them, so they're no longer in your mind, so you have a clearer mind.
Yes.
You're going to feel really good. I mean, for me at least, sometimes I can feel a little bit drained, and you like feel the energy as you're going through it can be a little bit intense, but you just know that once you've done it and you start getting stuff moving, you'll feel so good. So, yeah, enjoy the process. And actually, if you feel inspired to show us pictures, that's always fun too. People.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd love to show you. This is cool. It's like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, put them on the superhero page. Just post some pictures of the boxes that you're getting rid of. It's always inspiring for people to see that stuff. Clear it all out. Yeah, before and after images. Yeah. I always say to people, try and get rid of 80% of your stuff. And the bigger the box is, the bigger the amount of pile near the door, the bigger the success.
I barely own anything. It's all like other people's, like I said, and a lot of Ricardo.
Good.
There's a lot of beautiful things here too. It's sort of a mishmash, so it'll be really nice to what I'm doing right now, I'm weeding. So that's basically what to do in the house. I got to weed the house.
Yeah, exactly. Weed the house and just ask yourself, pick it up. Does it bring you joy? Does it spark joy? And if it does, you keep it. If it doesn't spark joy, out, 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 out.
Awesome.
Out.
That's a perfect question to use. Love it. Mm. What are the words that you use, the Sanskrit words? I was trying to remember to describe the objects.
Michael, do you use Sanskrit words to describe them?
Sanskrit words,
Sato, Rajo, Tamo,
or the Gunas, the Prakriti. I'm not sure what the words were.
It's not Rajasic, Tamasic. It's something else.
Sattvic?
No.
Was it to describe physical things?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the Gunas of Prakriti. It's like which means the different states
of matter.
So every state, every physical thing has either sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic state, has a higher, lower, middle state.
Uh-huh.
And if anything in your house is a lower energy state, then it's going to drain you. So you're better off getting rid of it. And if it has a high state, then you might as well keep it.
What's the name of that?
Of what? The state?
Of the lower state?
Yeah, it's Sato, Rajo, and Tamo.
Sato?
T-A-X. So S-A-T-O, Sato.
Pure.
Sato?
Pure, yeah. Rajo, R-A-J-O, means like fiery or the middle level, you know.
Okay.
And then Tamo means inert or kind of like dead.
Like the prayer flags are
Tamo. Prayer flags are Tamo. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you buy some new shoes. You get them and they're Sato. They're clean. They smell nice. They're like totally ready to go. And then when you've worn them in, they're Rajo. And then when they're starting to fall apart, they're Tamo.
Tamo.
Yeah.
Rajo. Tamo.
Yeah. But another way is just, does it spark joy? Does it spark joy when you pick it up? And if it does, then at least it feels good to you. So that's good enough. Because some stuff might be old.
Yeah.
But if it's old and broken, you probably want to get rid of it. Clothes that have holes in them or plates that are chipped or anything like that, broken, anything broken, it's just not good.
Good. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I just love talking to you guys. It's so awesome.
We love talking to you too. Yeah, it's always good to hear your voice.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, it's always great.
I love hearing your voices. Whenever I hear your voices, I just kind of melt.
Oh, just melting, melting, melting.
Now you can hear myself saying that in your mind. Oh, yeah, good. Very good. Well.
Blessings.
So many blessings to you as well. So we're going to close up shortly here, but I do see that Lydia has another little question. So, hi, Lydia.
Hi. Well, it's not a question. I just wanted to tell sorry, I forgot her name. I was just talking.
Scarlett.
Yes. Because my work is on healing architecture, and I have been doing this with clients. If she wants my help, I'll be happy to help her out with energetical and practical stuff. So feel free to contact me whatever way you like, on Facebook or whatever else. Just give me a message. I'll be happy to help. That.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lydia. That's lovely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Lydia's got a lot of talent in this area. And absolutely. Lydia's totally on it. So, Scarlett, contact Lydia Samadhi, her Facebook name. She's
wonderful.
On the group. So, why not create a sanctuary in your home?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, Lydia, there's a sister in Australia doing similar work to you named Anna that we're meaning to connect you with, so we'll do that as well. It's lovely.
So, sorry, Arielle, I didn't get the last thing. There is someone in Australia who, please repeat.
Who's doing similar work to you.
Oh, great.
Yes, so we'll connect you. Her name's Anna, so I had the thought to tell you.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. I would love that. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Lovely, lovely. Well, it's been absolutely lovely and beautiful to be here with you all today. And even those who didn't share, it was just great to have you here and have this lovely energy together. So we can all just close today by taking a few deep, nourishing breaths. And just on your exhale, kind of like Scarlett shared, just melting, just softening, just relaxing. Coming deeper and deeper into your natural state of peace, of easiness, of relaxation, and of happiness. Feeling held with so much love and so much support. And as you go into your week, enjoy the wonderful tasks ahead, whether it's clearing your home or maybe there's a project you're working on or whatever it is, many, many, many blessings.
We love you guys. We're looking forward to talking to you very soon. And keep sharing, keep shining, keep enjoying, and keep up your practices. Because the more you go deep, the better your life gets.
Okay. Many blessings.